school threats continue to disrupt classroom activity, and this latest one in Shaler, Paul, a little shocking at the age of the student.
An elementary school student, a girl, who police say admits to making numerous threats. We don't know if this is connected directly with what the FBI has been looking into, if she's responsible for this vast number of threats that were made, but good gosh.
There was a time where...
I mean, just not what you expect from an elementary school student, right?
Exactly. That's my point, especially a young lady. Now, you have a time now where social media is so accessible to everybody, and it comes with a responsibility. And what a lot of young people don't realize is, in many cases, it's trackable, too.
Listen to this list, Larry. This is the list of schools reporting threats. Armstrong, Butler area, Cannon McMillan, Elwood City, Hampton Township, Ligonier Valley, McKeesport, North Hills, Penn Manor, Pine Richland, Stowe Rocks, West Mifflin, Woodland Hills, and, of course, Shaler.
It's a big deal. And there was a time when we would not report threats to a school, you know, the bomb threats in particular, on TV and radio.
Yeah. And now we're at that point where it's become news. I would also say that it strikes me as somewhat similar to the people who bring guns to the airport, because your action by bringing a gun to an airport affects everyone who's trying to get on a plane at that moment. Just like the threats that are made online about school shootings affect everyone in that school district or at that particular school.
So it's a common occurrence. Just a list you gave us now. This is just today in the past, you know, since school started.
Yeah, this week. Yep.
Yeah, just this week.
Yep.
All right. American Airlines is expected to formally announce today around 1 o'clock that they have a major expansion in their company, somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 jobs. Some of those jobs would be here at Pittsburgh International with an expansion for their mechanic and service center.
I was going to guess at that the maintenance base here would be beefed up some. I think they're at capacity at their main maintenance base in Tulsa. I think that they're kind of maxed out there, if the last I heard about it. But that's good news, because those are good paying jobs. The people who work on the airplanes get good money.
Yeah, they've posted some of the jobs, and again, they'll make it official today, but this is good news for the airport, because we're expanding, as you know, and at some time next year, there will be the new Pittsburgh International Airport.
It sure looks good from what I've seen so far.
And American Airlines, again, expanding.
Where are they making this announcement? In Dallas, or?
1 o'clock today. I think they're making an announcement here as well.
Oh, great.
So, and this is on top, and you heard in our business report and update, there's a company locating near the airport that's going to do this, sanitize these high-end instruments with this new technology. So job expansion is always welcome here, especially around the airport and that corridor where it has been a bright spot and continues to grow. That said, what else is on people's minds this morning? Francine.
Yeah, a big storm that made landfall down in the Gulf Coast of Louisiana, south of New Orleans, just a little bit west of the city itself. And it moved inland quickly and over Lake Pontchartrain, and now it is moving into the Mississippi, Louisiana area north of New Orleans, and heading pretty much on a line straight north. And it's down to, what, a tropical depression now, right?
And we're not going to see any rain from this at least until Tuesday, so it's going to remain dry. We're going to check in with meteorologist Joe Lundberg in the next half hour and in the next 15 minutes to a reporter down in Baton Rouge. But from WAFB-TV, reporter Ethan Tuttle is in Thibodeau, Louisiana.
They experienced a lot of rainfall, obviously, coming off of Francine on the front end and the back end as well. Getting dark out here, obviously, and not a lot of power, obviously, so the lights are low. But the gas station here is flooded just about all the way up to the pumps.
And for those that don't know, and you live there in New Orleans, Paul, the city itself is under sea level.
Well, that's New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people shake their heads. Well, how does that work?
Well, they have an elaborate pumping system So when even in heavy rainstorms, they can pump as much as 2 inches of water off the streets per hour. So that's how it works. You see these gigantic pipes running all over the city where they can pump the rain or flood water out. Thibodeau, by the way, is in, you know, that's in the Cajun country. Houma, Thibodeau, that's where you really bump into the Acadian lifestyle. They're wonderful people, and that's all low-lying country as well. It floods real quickly. Let's check this out real quick. David Parkinson with CBS. He's a meteorologist on the landfall.
Louisiana bringing impacts throughout southern Louisiana, not just of storm surge, which could be as high as 4 to 6 feet on Lake Pontchartrain and 5 to 10 feet along the Louisiana coast. But then now, as the storm comes inland, you'll see storm surges as far away as Mobile and the Mississippi coast, which could be 3 to 5 feet.
So that gives you some idea how big it is. And in terms of the rainfall, again, they're predicting 8 to 12 inches, depending on the area. And as it moves inland, those numbers start to drop pretty quickly.
And we'll check in with meteorologist Joe Lundberg, get an update on all things weather in the next half hour. And we'll take you live to Baton Rouge, coming up on the Big K Morning Show. And a shout out to the Broadhurst family that owns Eaton Park, 75th anniversary year. And I mentioned to you, Paul, they have this anniversary menu. It's pretty extensive.
I saw the new menu the other day, and they've got a couple of sandwiches with French fries and coleslaw on them. Or French fries. At least I saw the French fry. I assume there was coleslaw as well.
Yeah, and it's, by the way, it's National Chocolate Milkshake Day. So
The only thing I like more than a chocolate milkshake is a chocolate malt.
On a day like this?
Yes.
This would be good. Maybe lunch, maybe dinner, maybe after dinner. Get a chocolate milkshake from Eaton Park.
See, now I'm going to have to go do this.
The place for smiles, Paul.
Well, wherever, you know. I haven't had a milkshake in a long time, but the way you sold it makes it sound so good.
It is really good. Get the whipped cream with the cherry on top. Go for it. If you're going to go, go.
All the way.
Hey, listen, this is, historical, this spacewalk with just private citizens?
Yes.
Testing spacesuits.
Elon Musk's SpaceX, right?
Right.
He's got two people are making the first private spacewalk ever. It's underway right now. He posted on X earlier this morning, Larry, a picture of two of the people on the mission, both of them women, wearing these new spacesuits that don't look anything like the ones we grew up looking at.
No, they don't.
Fascinating.
So, SpaceX Polaris Dawn crew attempting the first commercial spacewalk. I don't know that I would feel really comfortable going out. You know, you've seen those movies where they become untethered and then drift.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, they've got pictures of the inside of the capsule here with the crew. I just think this is really fascinating. This is what we used to pay attention to when NASA was, you know, running the show on this. This is really interesting. I mean, wasn't all that long ago you and I were talking about William Shatner's trip into space, brief though it was.
He was so emotional, he burst into tears. It was that impressive, he said. It changed his life, changed his perspective of the world based on seeing it from that advantage point, and that wasn't as high as these guys. This is led by a billionaire commander who bought his way, privately funded spacewalk, highly risky, still considered to be. So,
Larry, just to give you an idea of where Elon Musk is coming from, the man who's behind SpaceX and all of this, he posted this morning in the last few minutes a couple of things here. One of them is, he said, imagine exploring the stars in our galaxy and finding out what happened over billions of years on billions of planets. When we go out there to explore the galaxy, we might find many dead one-planet civilizations that never made it to the next planet. We will try to decode their writings just like we did with Linear B and hieroglyphics from past civilizations on Earth. He's a fascinating guy. And he really does feel very strongly about colonizing Mars.
There it is. All right.
So that's his mission.
Jared Isaacman is bankrolling and commanding today's mission. Made a fortune in technology and fighter jets. He's a pretty young guy, too. So we'll be following the... He calls himself a space geek. But now he'll be a spaceman.
Good for him.
Which is, instead of a derogatory thing to be called, it's... I don't know, man. When you got that kind of money and you want to do stuff like that, knock yourself out. That's pretty cool.
A few years ago, we were talking about people like Richard Branson, who was doing things like these unbelievably long balloon and other kind of flying around. But this is on a whole new level.
Francine hitting the Louisiana coast as a Category 2 hurricane and moving quickly to the north, but maybe not quickly enough. Joining us from WBRZ Television in Baton Rouge is Abigail Whittem. Good morning, Abigail.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What are you facing this morning down there on the coast?
Well, there's just lots of debris, fallen trees. Crews have been working all night trying to get those trees out of the way. There are some roadways completely underwater due to some of the rivers that we have out here in Louisiana. But other than that, everyone's pretty safe, so that's good.
What about power outages, Abigail, especially in the Baton Rouge region?
Oh, yeah. So I'm actually in Livingston Parish right now covering some of the damage. They have nearly 24,000 customers out of power. So power outage is definitely happening here.
And Baton Rouge is north and west of New Orleans by about, 50, 60 miles. So that gives you some idea of how far inland people are losing power.
Oh, yeah. Throughout, basically all the south region of Louisiana is out of power. So those generators are coming in handy today.
Yeah, I would imagine you, especially in that area, have to be prepared because you're going to get storms periodically. It's just the reality of living there along the coast, right?
Oh, yeah. I would say this is not our first rodeo. And I'd honestly say this is one of the least damaging hurricanes that I've ever been alive to see. So that's a good thing.
That's what I was thinking when I was looking at the weather channel this morning and then the National Hurricane Center. I thought, thankfully, this isn't going to be anything like a major hurricane.
Oh, yeah, thankfully not. I think when it landed last night, it ended up being a Category 2, but still not much damage. And like I said, just a lot of debris on the ground, but they are working hard, been working since late last night, getting all this situated. So I think that we're in good hands down here in the south.
Well, Abigail, we appreciate the update. Glad to know you're safe and folks down there are dealing with it pretty good. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you all so much, and thanks for checking in on us. We appreciate it.
All right. Abigail Whittem with WBRZ Television in Baton Rouge.
Listening to her talk reminds me of how charming people can be in the South in my years there. Lighthearted, they're just...
Yeah.
And a lot of people had parties last night, by the way,
and
in the New Orleans.
Explain to people, they have hurricane parties.
That's right.
This is... Also typical along the East Coast, too.
One of the sayings in New Orleans about the city is they call it the city that care forgot. In other words, leave your cares behind and enjoy life as you go one day at a time. And that's the way they go at it. So and the bars don't close in New Orleans, by the way.
Ever?
No. There are some that close, but they can stay open all around the clock. So
I've never, as much as I've been fortunate enough to travel for different reasons, football, whatever, pleasure or otherwise, I've never been to Baton Rouge or New Orleans.
I highly recommend the experience. It's a different culture. And in fact, New Orleans, you feel like you're in a different country.
French influence, right?
Yeah. And also there's a Spanish influence there. And here's the crazy part of it, Larry. The crazy part of it is one of their biggest parades of the year is St. Patrick's Day. They call it the Irish and Italian Parade. Oh, yeah. The Irish. In fact, there's neighborhoods in New Orleans where on one side of the street you'll have a Catholic church that was built for the Irish people in that neighborhood, and right across the street another one where the Italians attended church.
Well, they had the similar thing in Bloomfield.
Exactly.
Many years.
Right.
Italian and German.
Getting back quickly, if I could, to the rain forecast, and just to give you some idea of who's going to catch the rain in the next 24, 36 hours. Jackson, Mississippi, Memphis, Tennessee, Birmingham, Alabama are in some of the highest rainfall totals. And then north of there, you're talking about Nashville and to the west, Little Rock. That'll give you some idea. And even in Atlanta, they're going to catch some of this today. Tallahassee in the Panhandle in Florida.
Well, coming up next, we're going to talk to our meteorologist, Joe Lundberg, and find out, are we going to get any residual effects of this storm? Or when, for that matter, will it rain? Because according to the forecast I'm looking for AccuWeather, it's not going to rain through the weekend. Stick around. We got you covered on the Big K Morning Show. Hour. A chance for you to win tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival. That'll be Saturday, Pavilion at Star Lake, and it is a superstar-studded lineup, including Willie Nelson. Also, Bob Dylan. You've got John Mellencamp, Robert Plant, and Alison Krauss, and others. It's going to be a full day of music at Star Lake.
The lineup of superstars.
Yeah. I was a big Led Zeppelin fan. But it's interesting, Robert Plant has, for a long time now, been doing shows with Alison Krauss, more of a folksy kind of thing. That he almost, when he talks about Led Zeppelin, it's like another life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For him.
Yeah. I can see that.
You know, almost to the point where doesn't feel like it was me. Like he was young and they were so big and, you know, extraordinarily successful.
His solo career interested me as well. Back in the 80s, he released a song that became a chart hit. Remember Big Log?
Yeah.
Kind of a slow-moving, hypnotic-sounding, but that vocal style of his stands right out. You knew it was him right away.
So last night, speaking of music, Taylor Swift made VMA history on MTV. Dominated the award show, took home 7 trophies. She's now tied with Beyonce for the most wins. 5 of her wins were for Fortnite, featuring Post Malone. And they accepted the award last night, but paid tribute to the victims of 9/11.
I've just been thinking about what happened 23 years ago. Everyone who lost a loved one and everyone that we lost. And that is the most important thing about today. And everything that happens tonight falls behind that.
Yeah, 23 years ago yesterday, of course, 9/11. And it was a very somber day for many people, including here where Flight 93 crashed into that field in Somerset County. And also saw just the visual. The one takeaway for me yesterday, because I hate when politics becomes part of something like this, but I will say there was a moment where Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, the mayor of New York, is standing with Donald Trump together. And Harris,
I saw the
and
picture.
Trump
yeah.
shook hands. Of course, people were yelling stuff. But the fact that in that moment, we got to put our differences aside for the greater respect for what the day meant.
Mm-hmm.
And I
think you said yesterday, that fits perfectly in all of this. That's the last time that the country really felt, or at least we thought, that the country was united.
Yeah, I saw a video, and I've seen it before, where George Bush at a Yankees game was after 9/11. They said, we want America to return to as normal as we can while we work on tracking down the terrorists. So baseball, you know, is mm-hmm. so iconic, and for that reason. And he went out and threw the first pitch and got such an ovation. And he said, I just wanted to make sure I threw a strike. And he did.
He got it done.
Which is and we've seen these first pitch failures over the years. But in that moment,
we were talking Yankee Stadium here. This is not an easy crowd to please.
Right.
They're tough critics.
They don't
there,
like anybody.
You know, and for him to go out and nail the pitch and have the support of the people there.
Yeah,
I mean, it was electric.